This is CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Siyabonga Bayile. Live on Cliff Central.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Siyabonga Bayile, a.k.a. The Threaded Man. And of course, this is the best show on Cliff Central. This is The Thread Exchange. And the reason why this is the best show is because we have conversations that are cultured, that are young, that are progressive, that are brave. And it's all about black magic. We've got young people who are doing amazing things. Week after week, we just keep serving you guys with the most amazing things. Today, I've got really, really interesting group of guests. They all share a common purpose. But I've interacted with every single one of them, and they're all very, quite interesting, very colorful. And they run something called Blackboard. I'm sure you've seen it on the Twitter. I'm sure you've seen it on Spree. They did a fabulous shoot 2 weeks ago. Also, there's a veteran, Mpumi, who's a fashion director, stylist, who's also, working with these young ladies, curating, directing, and all these things. So they do a various amount of things. But I think for me, one of the most important things is they really are changing the narrative for young South Africa, for young South Africans, and especially for young South African women. I think when we talk about the youth, we fail to communicate to young South African women. And today, actually, I've got a surprise for you guys. A friend of mine from Cape Town has done a young mix so that you guys are relaxed. I was so nervous for this interview. I was like, yo, I've got three powerhouses. How do I get them to, you know, how do we get a nice rhythm going? So my buddy's like, no, I'm going to do a young mix for you. So this is a mix I dedicated to you guys. I hope you guys are going to like it. So you're welcome to Dancing Studio. I know Mpumi can rock some moves.
I know they can rock some moves.
Let me put you on the mic. Mpumi, what are you saying? Are you saying you can rock some moves for me?
I think everybody else in this room can rock.
But Mpumi, I've seen you break it down. I've seen you break
it
down.
I feel like you haven't.
Okay, cool. This is a mix from DJ Eugenics. And yeah, it's dedicated to Blackboard.
Tell me what it's time to be. You're the only one
that knows. Yo, I got some cool. Tell me when it's time to go. Siyamba nini Mpumi. Tell me when it's time to go, Mpumi. Siyamba nini. Guys, welcome to my show. How are you guys feeling?
Okay.
Good.
Usuke Berlin wena. Usuke
Dublin.
Dublin, there we go. I'm saying Berlin. Aren't you coming from Dublin?
Yeah, we just got back from Dublin Island, so yeah.
Dude, I was on your Instagram yesterday. You were in Dublin like Izolo. How are you here so quickly?
We were there for like a week. For a conference that was happening with Facebook and Google. It was like a child safety summit. It was a really, really cool experience. We landed on Saturday, so that's how I'm here.
Yes, guys, you heard that I was at a conference with Google. How many people get to say I was at a conference with like Google and Facebook?
One thing like, I can say about Google is that the offices are everything that we've always imagined. Like, it's
like
true.
That movie.
The rumors are true. The intern.
Yeah.
Also, I liked your outfits.
Thank you so much.
You're quite the fashionable person. I remember meeting you, and I think you were in grade 10 at the time, and you had just started Blackboard. You were interviewing me on a Destiny shoot, and you had just...
Oh, yeah.
And you were in an issue, and you were wearing my clothes on this issue, and you're like, yeah, I like fashion. It's my thing. Yes. And I really believe you. Like, it's your thing. It's your thing. Like, you're killing it.
I mean, I think I've always just tried to use it as some sort of expression, just telling the world who I am, and especially when you're traveling and you're in all these international spaces, and if you're in an established environment like Google or Facebook or whatever, I think it's really cool to wear who you are on your sleeve, which is why I really love carrying like South African designers, because it's like... It's me, you know?
I mean, I also want to introduce, I've got Zingisa here. She's part of Blackboard, but Zingisa is a boss person, so she's also co-hosting with me. So, listen, when I need you to do something for me. When I'm asking you a question as the person I'm interviewing, your voice tone must change. And then as a co-host, you must have an alter ego. So we're going through your alter egos.
Who's your Sasha Fierce?
Yeah, so your Sasha Fierce is the host.
Yeah, well, okay.
So when I'm like, Zingisa, then you're like, oh, yes. And then when you're hosting, you're like, oh, yes. You know?
Okay, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Let's distinguish the voices now.
If you had to introduce yourself and this was your show, how would you introduce yourself?
Cool, let's do this.
Hi, my name is Zingiso Sotsigwa, and welcome to the show. I have here Mpumi with me and Amonge, and we are about to interview them. They're from Blackboard, and we're super excited, and I have here with me Sia, who's going to be my co-host.
Yo, guys, I don't have a job anymore. Actually, guys, today's show, please understand, I'm featuring. This is Blackboard featuring Sia Beile on the Thread Exchange. Just understand that.
So let's go.
So I like to play a game. Each time I start the show, and we're going to pick on Zingisa because you decided to be a co-host.
There we go.
Yeah. So all of us get to start a sentence and then she must finish it off.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, and it can be anything, anything. So I'm going to start, right?
Cool.
I'm on WhatsApp. I'm talking to my crush. Who's my crush?
Zingisa.
Ooh.
Next.
Ooh. Next. That was
fire.
That was fire. That was fire.
Yeah, I was still formulating a question.
Yes, I was also still planning. My dream job is
to be a director. That's my dream job.
You're so good at this game. You're so sure. It's like you prepared.
Yeah,
and you answer within like
so a second. Like I would need a minute.
You're supposed to hesitate.
Yeah. Can you pretend to like think? Yeah. Like some of us when it comes to these questions.
Like
it's fine, we'll just turn off our mic for a few seconds. And then
Mbumi, let's think of a question.
Oh shit. There comes the one.
Mbumi is looking at you. I'm gonna
make it quite simple for you.
Okay.
Africa is to me.
Yo. Africa is to me my home. It's my home. It's a place full of ideas. Place full. It's rich. Africa is that place that you want to be. But yeah, it's my home. I can't explain it. Africa to me is a rich place. I love it. It's full of
kings and queens.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Leko. Okay,
let me,
thank you.
Let me attempt to do the interview on the show that I'm featuring. Let me start with Mbumi. The first time I ever came across you, Mbumi, is, of course, through Destiny.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're very much a well-known fashion director, and you've always been someone who's very much about Africa and where Africa is going, and you've never shied away in terms, you know, the fashion industry. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going to put you on the spot, but the fashion industry is very fake. Like, not South Africa, but global. We're all
probably
fake. And it's very rare to find someone in the fashion space who's willing to put their neck out no matter what the cost is. I feel like, especially in South African fashion, and fashion in general, is that we never criticize because we're afraid of relationships.
Yeah.
We never say what we actually think because, ooh, bang, bang, it's going to think I hate them. But you've never been afraid to say, yo, this is where Africa's going. This is where we shouldn't be going. This is what designers should be doing. This is what designers should not be doing. Where did you get that essence of being so brave? And the reason I'm asking that is because I'm sort of going to, what I want to make the listeners understand is that a lot of the times, especially with young us being young people, the story is always focused on us and how brilliant we are and whatever and how we're the future. But no one looks at the source.
Yeah.
No one looks at who actually is the source of all this wealth of knowledge and inspiration. And I think when it comes to Blackboard, you are the source, you know, and you've always you are the well that runneth over. And, you know, what we see with Blackboard is that well that started with you. So what made you consciously say, you know, in fashion, I'm going to push something that's not necessarily different, but what's something that is actually true and authentic?
I think in the fashion sense, like you said, it's very fickle. It's very superficial. And I think when I entered the fashion industry, for me, it was more less about trends and what's looking cool and what's hot, but it was also a form, an art form. So it was an expression. So styling and fashion directing was literally about me being able to tell a story. So no matter what I was doing or no matter what brief I was given, whether plaids are the new cool thing, it was, how am I going to tell this story in a context that is relatable to me and to the people that I am serving? You know what I mean? So if the context is that I'm here on the African continent, everything that I do must then be relatable to the people of Africa.
Yeah.
So even if a trend is coming from Europe, it must be digestible to the people of here. And not just digestible aesthetically, but what are you saying? What's the message that you're trying to put across? So it's clothes, but clothes are clothes and they clothe people. But what are you trying to actually say with that? So I think that's always just been the approach in anything that I do.
Yeah. I think as young people today, we get scared very easily. And, you know, we always think this is the cause I'm supporting. We stand for that cause. When the heat gets too heated, we tend to hide and run away.
Yeah.
And before this interview, actually, I actually sent out a couple of emails to people in the industry. And I'm like, what word would you describe, you know, Mbumi? You know, and someone said uncompromising, even when it's heated. Hey. That's what exactly what they said. And I called this person, like, what do you mean uncompromising when they heat it? She's like, you always are willing to stick your neck out in something that you believe in. Whether there's rules or no rules, what you believe in and what you think is right is right. And a lot of us as young people, we all support these great causes. All of us are woke, you know. We're all about black empowerment. We're all about black is beautiful. We're all about all these different things as young black South Africans. But then when that immediately gets questioned, we immediately sort of disappear or our tone sort of changes. I mean, you see that with our politicians. Julius Malema was like, I'll kill for Zuma. Now he's like, oh, Zuma must go. Yeah. You know, we're very quick to wanting to go with the trend.
Yeah.
You know, we start off not being trendy and then somehow we fall into that trap of being trendy. I just want to understand from you, why haven't you never compromised and where do you get that bravery of, you know what, no one believes in this in my team, no one believes in this in my circle, but I want to do this. Or no one in my industry believes in this, but as Mbumi, I'm willing to drive this to the end. How do you get that bravery? And have you ever had moments where you doubt yourself? Because sometimes, you know, you think you're doing the right thing, and then Siyabile comes and tweets, oh, Mbumi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then Mbumi's like, oh my God, like, let me change. What has made you sort of stick and not compromise?
Gosh, it's a tough question. And I think, like you're saying, I think it's just, it's the vision. I think more than, when you have a vision and you have a purpose, no matter who comes along, that never changes. So if you're given that vision and purpose early in life, I wish I was given it earlier in life, but once you finally cement it and you say, hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and this is the narrative I'm supposed to be driving, no matter who comes and tries to derail you from that course, you're like, nah, it's cool, but because this is my purpose. So whether or not you understand it or whether or not you agree with it, that's fine, but this is my purpose. So I shall continue and march on, if that makes sense.
So purpose is the key thing.
Key. Yeah.
Lately I've been praying for purpose. Not purpose in the sense that I don't know what I want to do, but we live in a time because of like social media, what we want is likes.
Yeah.
And we tend to forget about our purpose. When we don't get the likes, we have...
Then you're able to shift.
We don't have those likes, we're always stressing on some, oh, I need 10,000 followers. Oh, look, Mang has 50. I need to also get to 50. What can I do to get to 50? So you end up going to events just to pose with certain people so you can be on the grams. So lately I've been in a space where I'm like, God, please put me in a space where I'm alone so I can find purpose.
Yeah.
And that's think important. Purpose is such an important thing. And...
And you usually find it when you're alone.
Exactly. Now, I just wanted to share that with you because you're talking about purpose. Blackboard. Where does it come from? What is Blackboard? How did it come about? Among is your daughter, correct?
Yes.
So how did that happen? And I know that you guys are cousins. She's your aunt.
Yeah.
How does Blackboard come together? I know you left Destiny. And then, you know what I'm saying? So how does all these puzzles come together?
Okay, I'll start, and then you guys can just fill in where, I think Blackboard, it was just, I think we needed a space to be us, and 150, like, gajillion percent, us, authentically us, and I don't think that was given to us anywhere. In our schools, we had to, like, kind of fit in, you had to conform, you had to straighten your hair, you had to whatever, just comply to all those rules to fit in. Among society, you know, all the boys want the white girls and everything, you know, like, you're kind of always guarded, and you never let that guard down and be you. And I think Blackboard started as a space to open up for that. And then it grew and it was like, but yeah, sure, you're trying to comply to other social standards, but like, what are you trying to do with your life? What is your purpose? What is your vision? Like, we're talking about purpose now, and I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to the point where they're establishing purpose, or yeah, like developing what they want to do with themselves and growing as people, as a collective. So you are really into fashion. You're a bomb ass fashion director. So where can that go? Like, do that. Push that. Do you push that and be African and be legendary and be the visionary in that aspect? And now we're together. So if I'm pushing film and whatever, like, when there's a film that needs to be dressed, we work together. Like, just creating a collective of visionaries, I guess, and growing that. So, yeah.
And just to add on what Amonga said, I think for us it was also that, and also we kind of wanted to, because we're passionate and we're creatives and we're storytellers. Like, I'm into film, Amonga wants to write, Bumi tells a story through fashion, but we just wanted to change the narrative, to claim our narrative, to be the ones that are saying, cool, this is who we are, and this is how we dress, and this is what we think. But as Amonga said, we didn't have that space and we didn't have that platform for us to speak or to say, yo, we're going to represent ourselves the way that we should be represented, an authentic way. And also, we are very strong. We are dreamers. So leadership was one thing that was always like pushed in our family. And that's one thing that we're also passionate about, youth leadership in Blackboard. So that's also just adding on what Amonga was saying.
Yeah, I think you guys have covered a lot, most of the stuff. I think from my perspective, I spent the majority of my life in the United States, so about 20 years of my life I was there. And I think what came across quite strongly in America is that people were extremely black and proud. There was publications that were unapologetically about being black, Essence, Ebony, Jet, there's black entertainment television, and there's black girls rock. So it's not something that anybody shied away from. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when it came to the realization that we're in a country with the majority of black Africans, but yet there's nothing speaking authentically.
When America's minority and they're
exactly.
more proud of
yeah.
And you're like, how is this possible?
And why am I scared to say I'm black and I'm proud?
And I'm African and I'm black and I'm proud. And nobody's addressing my concerns and my issues. So I think it was also born from that, and also just losing who you are.
Yeah.
I think that was also pretty
big
scary
thing.
To see that culture is literally disappearing in front of our eyes.
When I think of the word Blackboard, I think last night I was just doing a lot more research about you guys, and I kept on thinking about the name. And do you guys, like, were you very conscious of the name Blackboard? Because I think of myself as a young black male, as I'm a Blackboard. And I'm a blackboard that can be made up of different, like how I would see a blackboard on a wall, and you can paste different ideas and concepts. I feel like I'm a walking blackboard.
Yes.
You know, I look at Africa and I'm like, Africa is a blackboard.
Exactly.
I look at the black community, I'm like, together we are blackboard, individually we are blackboard. Was that the intention behind the name?
Yeah, completely. I think you hit the nail right on the head. It's you, and I think we also wanted to make it accessible to everyone. It's something that everyone can understand. Like, you know that this is what it is. It's like a clean slate. And that's what we've been saying everywhere, that that's what we're providing, is a clean slate. And I think the name Blackboard says that. It's exactly that. It's, we're black, we're proud, we're, like, we're the future. And the possibilities are endless. Like, there's nothing that we can't do, guys, if we don't come together. Like, nothing.
Yeah. And we named it Blackboard Africa on purpose, so it's not just us, but it's for Africa, reuniting Africa.
Yeah.
So it's, the time is now. We're not saying, oh, what we story maybe next year. No, we're writing our own stories on this blackboard as Africans, so together.
Yeah. I want to ask something very controversial, and I don't know how I'm going to dissect it, but there's something I like to call being an acceptable black person.
Yeah.
Where kokwenu Eastern Cape, you're like, yes, I'm black, oh my god, and then you're in a white space, oh my god, like it changes. You don't wanna speak you don't wanna be your true self, because
completely.
You're like, oh, I don't offend white people, what are white people gonna say? I remember in high school, like, being on a rugby scholarship at Weinberg, being this black kid who was afraid of bringing umphokoqo to school because white kids are going to say, oh, what the Sawmilk stinks. And you look at our industry. There are a lot of black proud people, but at the same time, they are acceptable blacks. Why do you think that when, as black people, we get into a white space, we're still so very afraid to express ourselves, but then at the same time, a white person from Italy is going to come to South Africa and still be
and
Italian.
Be Italian.
And then if you go to New York, like, white people never feel the need to change for us, but we are consistently, as Slicker said to something to me the other day, where he says, black people are such great adapters, and sometimes we adapt at our own cost. And I feel that sometimes, you know, as black people, we talk about all the time on Twitter, we want to be heard, but then when you step into the office at the agency and you're sitting in a boardroom of white people and they make a stereotype joke about a black person, you're just there on your Twitter. You know, why is it that we're still afraid to express ourselves, and how do we teach, you know, young people, you know, they are 14 year olds in high school right now, they are young black girls who are stepping into high school, into white predominant schools, and they're feeling shy of expressing their hair, they're feeling shy of, you know, being those black girls because of, you know, that of, I need to be this acceptable black to be accepted. And how do you guys think we stop that, and what is the discussion around that? Because I think all of us at some point have felt that way, and then we sort of were just like, screw it. You know, I'm gonna be who I am. But at some point, all of us had that thing of, in certain white spaces, we acted a certain way.
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, I'm just going to jump in. Because, I've been hearing you speak, and I'm like, okay, can I jump in now?
Guys, you can interrupt me anytime. I talk too much. Interrupt me.
I think on this topic especially, I think I've experienced it, firsthand. I kind of always grew up in, these Model C schools, so, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think, especially now in the creative industry, it's become fashionable to be African and be black and be proud and be woke. And I think it's always dependent on the environment and on the space, because now you're talking about going into the office, whereas it's not as acceptable there even now still. So I think the only way to really, tackle it would be to remain constant. Because if you are yourself, your closer self, in Eastern Cape, why do you feel like you have to step out and be completely different because you're amongst, you know, all the other girls at Kingsmead or whatever, or whatever environment that you're in, you know? I think if you, as yourself, I know it's a lot easier said than done, but I think, from my experience, I was always raised to stand out, 150%. There'd be times when my mom would take me to do, crazy hairstyles, and I'm like, no, they're going to stare. Can't I just do straight back? Can't I just do, normal things? Sometimes I just wanted to be normal, but I think, I think I tried to shy away from that, and as much as my mother, really rooted it in me that you've got to be different, you've got to stand out, you've got to, normal's boring, it's absolutely boring. And I think the more that you get comfortable with that, and the more you get comfortable with being who you are 150% wherever you are, I think that's how we go forward.
And that's also interesting, because we were having a discussion yesterday about, if you know where you're coming from, then you won't feel intimidated, or you won't feel the need to kind of shy down. So also, we from Kings and Queens, we dope. So if you get into that space, you won't feel intimidated. I also experienced that, but I was from the Eastern Cape, so I grew up in the Eastern Cape as closest. So that was all I was surrounded by. So I knew we were dope. I knew we were cool. Moved to Joburg, also went through private schools, but at first it was a little bit, but I always had that thing that, nah, man, I've been in the situation where it was majority closer people, and it's okay to be who you are. It's okay to be cool. And also, I just started work again. I just started an internship, and I remember this incident, so I had to introduce my name. And I was just like, oh, my name is Denise, and Paul, this guy that I'm interning under, is like, no, say your name correctly. Say it proud. And I'm like, actually, my name goes in you, sir. Then he's like, yeah, there you go. So he kind of gave me that nod that, nah, you cool. You good. Like, don't ever apologize for who you are. So it's about knowing where you come from and knowing your greatness, I think.
Yeah, like just what Sengisa just touched on, also the people that surround you. It really, really helps to have your people that are going to keep you grounded and keep you, like, just keep, every time you're starting to get a big head, like, you need someone to be like, I see, I like, just,
get it together.
Yeah, you know?
I think you guys have touched on everything. I think it's really, I mean, it's conditioning. We were, and I think every time you let something slide, it becomes less, more tolerable, you know what I mean? So I think it's about literally being intentional in every space that you're in. Mm. And I'll give an example of my son. I have a 4-year-old son, and he came home the other day. Gamalak and go sipe sihle.
Hi, sipe sihle.
But simbiza sipe. And he came home, and he's like, Mommy, this little boy is calling me Sipo. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, yeah, I keep on telling him my name is Sipe. And he says Sipo. And I was like, okay, what's his name? And he was like, Matthew. And I was like, just call him Andrew. And let him understand that saying your name incorrectly is just not acceptable. So if you teach that at a young age, you'll never mispronounce my name again, and I'll never let it slide. You know what I mean? So it's stuff like that, like, I can't let this slide. I can't let this slide, because the more things we let slide, the more things that we just eventually just like, oh, okay, let me just keep quiet about that. So if somebody says something that's offside, like, call it out as hard as it is, but, like,
uncomfortable.
Call it out.
Yeah.
How do we begin the process of, there's a lot of people that, and that's what I like about the show, a lot of people in agencies and corporates are listening because they're at work and they're streaming the show, and there's a black person out there who's like, fuck, I'm sitting at work and I don't know how to be myself. I want to burst out, I want to be myself, but I'm going to get fired. How, you know, these are real things. Some people really, a lot of South Africa, because at the end of the day, some of us are really privileged to be entrepreneurs and be able to express ourselves because we command our platforms. Some people go to school, become doctors, they work in hospitals that are predominantly white, and they want to express themselves and they feel like they're going to get fired. How do other black people begin, who are listening and want to break out of their shells, how do they, and I'm asking Mpumi, how do they begin to start that process of being proud in their workspace and starting to not being an acceptable black, but let me be brave enough to butt in when a white person speaks. Like, how do people start that process of being proud of who they are?
Oh, I think it's a process, and I think it's within oneself. I think you have to come to the realization, I think this is what I need to start doing. But I think, like mentioned before, I think I would start it with small things. So just the pronunciation of my name. Can we just start there? I can't stay in an environment and be working in an environment where people every day mispronounce my name. You can introduce it in little things, like food. You're talking about food. You know what I mean? Like, what do I pack? DM17, what, and then that's also a conversation starter. So then you're starting to unpack who I am, where I come from, what this is about. You can introduce it via fashion. I think fashion is also a really great way to express who you are and stand out. So I would just start it gradually, I think. I don't know.
Don't shy away from it. Just go in full force and be sure about it. Because once you like, well, then you're like, maybe today I don't feel like it. Or you're like, yeah, you're right. Actually, my name is not Sipo. It's Sipo.
Yeah, or even
whatever.
Language.
Not even language, but like, it's something that we've been having constant conversations about now. It's about knowing who you are, knowing your history, knowing your culture, knowing where you come from. I'm sorry, I'm just going to like read this little quote now. And it says, it's a Marcus Garvey quote. And he's like, a people without the knowledge of their past history, origin, or culture is like a tree without roots. And I was in New York, and like I went to Howard in D.C. And one of the lecturers at the class that I was speaking at, she read this quote and she was like, it's only when you understand that are you going to be less likely to disrespect yourself. So if you know, like Zing used to say, that you're kings and queens, and not just kings and queens, but like, you guys are dope. Like, you guys took down all these systematic, like, things that were happening, and like, not just hair policies and whatever, but real heavy, like, passes and regulations, and you have people like your grandfather, literally one generation away, who did this stuff, this dope stuff that led you to live the life that you have now. So now you finally get into that workspace that they fought for you to get into, and now you're going to be quiet? Nah.
You actually introduced the next thing that I wanted to ask, and it's something very sticky, because you were saying, you know, I can't quote the quote directly, but it's about knowing your heritage, where you come from.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've all seen it, you know, there's a lot of black people who, for example, have gone into exile, you know, be born. Some of the kids, some of my friends were born in exile. Yeah. They end up staying in New York.
She was born in New York.
And sometimes you get parents who are adamant on their kids knowing their past.
Yeah.
So it becomes easier for those kids. Mm. But then you get kids who, a friend of mine, 3 months ago was having a midlife crisis. He's 20, but he's having a midlife crisis. Mm. And he's like, I don't know. Wow. I know my culture, but I don't know my culture. Like, my dad has passed away. I don't know where his clan is in the Eastern Cape. I don't know, what should I do? That's what he asked me, and I was like, what should he do? Is it a thing of, as black people, how do you start to reclaim your culture when your parents haven't taught you where you come from? I mean, you guys also not in Joburg. Even in South Africa, in Joburg, there's people who've never been home.
Yeah.
They're Xhosa, but they were like, I grew up in Joburg. My family's always been in Joburg.
Yeah.
I don't know where I come from. And I usually have a panic attack when that happens, because I'm like, the fact that, like, when Joburg is stressful, I can just drive home to Eastern Cape. I have my grandmother.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an important root of who I am. Like, I think I would die without it. And I can't imagine without that. So how do we start connecting those dots? If is this question even answerable?
I think the onus is on you. I think a lot. I understand parents and
take the responsibility.
Parents make mistakes. You know what I mean? We're raising kids and we make mistakes and we make the wrong decisions for our kids sometimes. But I also think sometimes you have to take accountability.
Mm.
So you can't always blame, okay, my parents didn't teach me that. There's so much information out there right now. And it's so easily accessible to, compared to, you know, the past.
Yeah.
And I'll even just take myself as an example. I didn't know how to speak Xhosa. Luckily, one thing that my parents did do in the States is when I was growing up, they spoke Xhosa. So I could understand it, but I couldn't speak a word of it. I came back, I was 21 years old. And I learned the language. Is my Xhosa 100%? No, it's not. Do I make grammatic errors? Yes, I do. But I took a conscious decision to say I need to be able to speak my own language. So, like you're saying, okay, I missed out on a lot, but you can catch up.
I think it's up to you when you decide, okay, cool, I want to learn my culture and I want to, and especially for us young people, read, watch. There's the internet.
Exactly. Google is our space right now. It's
Do you guys
crazy.
Also think we play an important part in helping our black friends with that as
I
well?
Think we do.
We do. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, for instance, what you post on Instagram, it could be like a throwback Thursday or like Wisdom Wednesday or whatever, like a black history lesson or whatever. Just like little things that you can be like, yo, did you know? It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, the guy that mentors me he was like, yo, my daughter doesn't read or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I'm not much of a reader. Then he's like, yo, but you should watch documentaries then. I was like, oh, okay. Like, there's other ways of learning as well. Like, we have the internet, we have technology. Like, it's up to us, really.
Yeah, with the digital age, dude, there's actually really not much of an excuse these days, hey? Like, Generation X, Z, I don't know what the new thing is, but, like, we have it at the tip of our fingers, so.
My gran was laughing at me the other day. I'm on myself, so my gran literally has never been in the city. She lives in the Eastern Cape, that's where she wants to live. She's like, anything else is going to stress me. So now I'm on my phone and I'm looking at this one. She's like, why are you always so long on your phone? I'm like, no, we are the digital age. We are Generation Z. And she's like, Zindonezo, Nyatakata, Generation Z, Zindonezo. So it's always so funny. But I want to play a song because I want to give you ladies a breathing bag. I feel like I'm asking you intense questions.
No.
But the next thing I want to actually discuss is the commercial. Yo, guys. It's blackness has become commercial in beauty, in movies, in everything.
Yeah.
but we still don't own any of that.
Yeah.
For example, Black Panther, I think, is incredibly great, but money is going to Marvel.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman only earned $3 million out of a $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
So I actually, after this song, I actually want to chat about that. How do we, we've now gotten the attention to say we are black, we're here, black is beautiful, black is trending, the world is black right now. You know, everybody's biting what's black, but how do we start owning our blackness?
Yeah.
You know, Kim Kardashian are making money from our blackness, but how do we retain that value? So I want to play a song by Childish Gambino called Terrified, because he's one of my favorite artists.
I love him.
I thought you guys would like that. Yeah.
He's actually genius.
We're back. Yo, this show is so fun. Like, guys, it's almost quarter to, and I'm like so sad. Like, I feel like there's so much I want to discuss. Let me turn on your mics. There we go. There's so much I want to discuss. There's a question on Twitter. You guys are very popular, hey? People love you.
Aww,
like, I tweeted you guys the other day. I'm like, the future. You trended on my Twitter for like 5 days. I'm like, stop.
Oh, that's a lot.
I'm like, stop. Remember I said it to you on WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Because I love that. That's
and what
shoot.
Did I say? I was like, what?
Yeah,
I was
you're
so
like, stop.
I was like, no.
you tweeted me from Dublin. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember we're like, we're all. I was like, oh, shout out. She's in Dublin. She retweeted me. I was so grateful because I knew you were traveling. So I was like, oh my God. She had the time while changing the world to retweet a Sia Bela tweet.
Whatever.
So, yeah. So somebody's everything. Yeah, people on Twitter have different names, but somebody's everything. Mbulelo is asking. This is how he wrote: Young queens,
aww,
how do you see the acceleration of women in the digital space in the continent? And I want to add on: Is Africa doing enough to support black women in digital, and especially digital entrepreneurs who are women?
Yeah, I don't know.
Teta Facebook. This is your field, Teta Facebook.
I was actually gonna touch on something that they were basically just talking about policies and like protection of like children and privacy stuff. But I think in this age, content is king. So the content that you produce, like, ownership is really, really an important thing. And I think if we can get ahead in that, in like the content production, into the ownership of it, I think we could really like go far in terms of that, and just like the digital space, because content is really what makes or breaks you in that field. So if you have a website, if you have whatever, like, your content is what pulls people in, is what draws people in, is what makes people keep coming back for more. So if you have like real authentic content about who you are, about what you're trying to push, like about your cause, like, you gotta own it, otherwise, yeah, you're in trouble.
I think it's still a developing space. It's pretty concrete and growing massively worldwide, but I think it's still a developing space here in Africa. And I don't know if they're doing enough for women. I don't know if they're doing enough for black people. And I think, like she's saying, instead of complaining about it, I think it's about getting before it and getting ahead of it. So you're making the decisions, and you're making, you know what I mean? You're making the rules instead of other people making rules for you. And I think that's the easiest way to put it.
I also don't think they're doing enough for black women. Even in my industry, when I look around, the people who are trying to push, or the people who are pushing the game, changing and flipping the game, are doing their own thing. They're just like, nah, I'm cool. I'm just going to do my own thing. And like Bumi said, setting their trends, setting their own rules. For instance, Mama Gashaga started her own thing. Ulysses Simone started her own production company, and she was just like, I'm just going to do it, and I'm just going to create my own rules, create my own space, create my own platform. And sometimes you just have to be brave and just have to do it yourself. But is the world kind to us? No. Do they give us opportunities? No. So what are we going to do? We're going to take and create those opportunities.
And you're going to change it.
Yeah.
Mbubi, you were saying something very important. I think that's one of the things that I think I want to highlight in this interview is the whole thing about not having a victim mentality.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us as black people have fallen into that disease.
Yeah.
And I feel as young people, we are carrying our parents' struggles.
Yeah.
When, not to say we can't sympathize and want to change things, of course. Yeah. But then some of us carry those struggles as if we were there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we fall into this dark hole and we're consistently complaining about how the world is not doing enough for black people. Mm-hmm. We're constantly, and something that I always say, I'm like, I'm tired of this talk about Vogue Africa. Why can't we produce a publication that's bigger than Vogue? So we always, as black people, we're always fighting to be included by white people.
Yes, like, can we sit at the
table?
Like,
so
let's create our own table.
So you'll find that for me, the we all black and proud, but then we are also at the same time quick to complain that, oh, Vogue is not having enough African people. Yeah. Let's have a Vogue Africa. Yeah. Oh my God, like, Marvel should do more black movies. White people, like, we consistently giving white people this responsibility of having to consistently create spaces for us because we feel entitled to white people giving us a space because they've treated us badly. So we're like, they should create. But we don't realize, by the mere fact we're asking them to create these certain spaces for us, we're actually giving them our rag.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because now Marvel's gonna be like, ooh, maybe we should make a black movie. And then let's keep all the money.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure Condé Nast is sitting on some, Vogue Africa is a thing. And then Vogue Africa is going to launch and all of us are going to jump on it. All of us are like, oh my God, it's here. And forgetting that it's still white people driving the narrative.
Yeah.
How do we get out of that? Because it's something I've always been vocal about in the industry. It's something I've always said to all my counterparts. I mean, even Trevor, I debate with him. I'm like, dude, like, how long do we have to sit and represent these international brands? Like, why can't we be the international brands? Like, it's great to be a face of Adidas, but why can't I make an Adidas? You know, it's great. How do we even begin to change that?
Sometimes you just have to be brave and just do it. And it's not easy. It's hard work. But we need more brave people to salmon us started. And also, if you're not brave, then support. If you're not that brave person to be like, yo, I'm going to start this thing, I don't care what people are going to say, then don't criticize whatever when that one brave black person starts their thing. Support. Show support. That's not going to make you less of a person. That's not going
to... not going to hurt you.
Nothing.
Yeah. We have to be each other's hype men. We really need to be each other's hype men. And I think one of the great things... Oh, that thing on Facebook, Brown Sense. I think
amazing.
It's amazing what they're doing.
Amazing.
And it's just shouting each other out, like you're saying, supporting one another, backing one another, buying each other's products. That's how we'll grow. It's organically creating a network. And once we create that network, there's nothing that can break that network.
Yeah, I think a big realization is that, like, black people, women, like, we've been struggling, guys. So if you want to sit and complain, like, you won't be the first and you definitely won't be the last. Like, don't sit on your, like, you know, just get up and do something about it, you know. Take the responsibility for yourself. Like, stop going to try and beg on someone else's door for some sugar. Like, grow a plantation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, be productive and be resourceful from what you have and what you're given. And then grow from there. Like, and like she said, if you're not that person to step out boldly, and that's okay. Not everybody's that, guys. Everyone is an entrepreneur, like, we wouldn't have any customers type of thing.
Yeah.
So not everyone is that. But then also be conscious about supporting. And when Vogue Africa does come, like, nah, I'm going to stick with my local.
Blackboard.
Exactly.
I'm Blackboard. Hi, Vogue, but I'm Blackboard. Another thing, we have 5 to 7 minutes, and I think... I'm going to unashamedly go back to punting Blackboard. One thing that stands out for me about Blackboard, which I've never seen anyone do, is how you guys use young boys and men in your narrative. In society today, especially us as men, women over the centuries have changed.
Yeah.
You know, your great-great-grandmother, the marriage she was in versus the marriage that, you know, black women are in now, and basically... versus the mentality back then and now, black women and women in general are more proud now. You know, it's no longer I'm sitting at home and sewing. It's like, screw that. I'm going to be the breadwinner. I'm going to drive a Porsche and a Ferrari. I'm going to run the world. Mm. But men are still stuck.
Yeah.
We're still all the same. It's like, It's like we have this amnesia. It's like we
not
are
all men.
Not all men, but I'm saying, I'm speaking on a general term here, is that we are still sort of in that space that, yes, be a proud woman, but just be, you know how we, like, especially modern men, like, we want very powerful women, we like Beyonce, but then we still want to be, okay, just stay there, don't. So, as men, in your work as Blackboard, and how are you using men to reveal some of the challenges they've dealt with, to reveal their relationships with women, revealing their journeys in business and interactions with women, you know, boys who are queer, sexuality, how has that been important for you guys, not to just make Blackboard, because Blackboard is quite a powerful brand in terms of young black women empowerment, but then I love how you also use boys and men to also be part of the conversation, and how and why was that important for you guys?
I think for us, being black women has always been our experience. So we know it's our struggle, it's like, it's us. And I think, especially now, everyone's so quick to, like, leave the boys behind. And I get it, because, like...
Hello, toss the trash. Trash, babes.
And to an extent, I do get it, because, like, and like, as much as we love you, but, like, men have had centuries and centuries and centuries to be on top. Like, so... I understand where the focus on women is coming from, but at the same time, if the men that you're struggling with now are perpetuating these constructs that you're like saying are trash, then you should be doing more to fix the men that are younger. I think that's just been our focus on fixing the next generation of men so that we're not still stuck with abo trash, you know what I mean? Like, we must...
Ota trash.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it goes back to that thing of being proactive. Like, let's also include them in the conversation. Where are you guys? Like, where are you at, you know?
What are your struggles? Yeah. What are you going through? And let's also address them, because the more the girls leave them behind... the gap will grow. So we've got to move together. We've got to grow together. We've got, you know, it's a conscious thing that we're saying, hey, this is what we're doing as African youth. We've got to move as a unit. Otherwise, we're not benefiting anyone.
Even at one of our conversations last year in Feb, we had a conversation, things I wish my mom had told me about love. And it was basically what my cry inside, I didn't say it, someone else said it, but I was thinking it, that I can't find anyone, like anyone who's strong enough or whatever, or like, and then someone was like, yeah, well, you have to teach them, because everybody teaches us to be strong, young black females, strong, 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 then they leave the men behind, then the men can't handle the strongness or whatever that comes from us. And I was like, then why don't we teach them? Or why don't you have a conversation then? Have an open conversation about stuff like that, or like to bridge the gap.
Yeah. I even think for us, it's also a culture that perpetuates as men. I think especially with me, because I've also had to learn a lot of things, and I think it's because my mom is a single woman, so I was more closer to my mom. And as men, it's like, it even starts in high school. When a girl is heartbroken in high school, she tells her mom and her friends, you as a guy are trying to talk to her. Her girlfriend's like, you can't talk to her. You can't. But if a girl breaks a guy's heart, the guys laugh at him.
Yeah.
You're sissy. Yeah. Why are you laughing? Ah. Yeah. And then the girl wants to speak to him, and then they're like, ah, speak to him. There's never that. Already, there's not that community.
Yeah.
Then you get into the whole thing of sport now. Yeah. You play rugby. You're not going to crown the rugby field. Yeah, now you're there, broken your leg, you're pretending like it's not broken. Where I feel, you know, girls from a young age, and just watching some of my girlfriends, there's always been that thing of, what I feel, you're going to know how I feel.
Yeah.
And for some reason, as boys, we perpetuate not sharing how we feel. We box things inside, it affects us, and then we end up taking it out on women.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you find a lot of guys are depressed, heartbroken, going through so much shit, but no one is expressing what is going on. And I think that conversation around that men are trash, I think it takes both sides for us to talk. You know, we need women to help us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're still 5-year-olds emotionally.
And that's our thing. I think with Blackboard, to create those spaces where they don't exist, or create those topics, or create those platforms where it's like, let's talk.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not okay to like cry on the rugby field, but like, you can cry here, you know?
Yeah,
like,
come to Blackboard and cry.
I'm going to come to your guys' house and cry. But we need to wrap up. What is Blackboard for a minute? Let's do this. What is Black Book working on? Where can we guys find you? What do you need from the black community? How can we support you? What can we do for you guys? How can we be part of this Black Board Africa movement?
What we're working on now, this Saturday, at the Market Theatre, we are having another event. It's called Blackboard Relay, because this life thing is a race. And we're all about to pass the baton. We need to pass the baton of knowledge. We need to pass the baton of wealth. We need to grow. And to do that, we have to be a team. So we're kicking that off. Our big brother, Donovan Goliath, woo-hoo! Will be out here sharing some knowledge. Love him.
With Mugit Lamini as well.
And yeah, we're just trying to upskill one another. So this Saturday, Market Theatre.
Yeah, please check out our Instagram. There will be a link there.
Fill up Market Theatre.
Yeah.
Fill up Market Theatre.
Instagram at @blackboard_Africa. Twitter is @blackboard_Africa. Blackboard on Twitter is spelled BLAK without the C. We also have Facebook, Blackboard Africa. And yeah.
Yeah. So that's
amazing.
That. Yeah, man.
Please follow them. Bumi, Among Us, and Nisa. Thank you so much for being here. I love your work.
Thank
you. And I want you guys on the cover of Thread Man soon, so I'm going to hit you guys up.
Okay.
And I'm saying this on air so you can't say no.
You guys heard him. Cover.
Yeah. You all heard it.
Guys, this is Siyabonga Beile. This is the Thread Exchange. Thank you so much for joining me for this installment. Come again next week when we, drive more conversations around black excellence.
This is CliffCentral.com.